fellow Christians, and especially our candidates here for the pastoral ministry and for vicarages in the church. Do you know where your children are? In St. Charles County recently, a two-year-old and his dog wandered into a wooded area. The dog returned home without the boy. Parents were frantic until a search party found the boy and brought him home the following day. There are dangers, and then there are dangers. Take that little fellow who was rescued from danger in the woods and plop him down before the television in his home. The American Academy of Pediatrics suggests that there could be hazards here affecting the minds of children, their thinking and their outlook. There are dangers, and then there are dangers. And oldsters, too, are prey, which puts a question to pastors like the one put to parents. Pastors, do you know where your church is? Do you know that Christians in our kind of world are vulnerable, just as vulnerable as a two-year-old lost in the woods without his dog? The parable of the wheat and the tares makes us rather uncomfortable, because this parable that Jesus told is about reality. And frequently we spend so much of our lives escaping reality. But the way things are, Jesus means to say, until the end of time, the culture here in America, the culture anywhere, there is a commingling, a mixture of Christians and pagans. What shall we do? Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. In the night, an enemy came and sowed weeds over that field, likely the pesky darnel, a look-alike to the good wheat stalk, but yielding an ugly black kernel. How to protect the good grain in such a field? How to protect Christians in such a world as ours? Might be a question for seminary people to address. Discovering the tares or weeds in that field, the servants, the farmhands, went to the master, the landowner, with a proposal for swift action. Send us back into the field, and we will root out the tares. Is that the solution? Shall the church storm the strongholds of the pagans in our age, wherever they are, on university campuses, halls of government, in business, the press, the media, attack the pagans in order to protect the Christians? No, said the landowner, lest rooting out the bad you destroy the good grain too. Let both weeds and wheat grow together until the harvest. Do nothing violent. Friends, Christians, let's face it, have no escape from the way things are. Christians coexist with the pagans in our age. Do nothing violent to the pagans. But did our Lord intend for his church to do nothing at all? when the landowner received that report from his farmhands, he mused to himself, an enemy has done this. And the enemy is the devil, says Jesus, and the tares, the weeds, are the sons of the evil one. And then the parable, like a dart thrown hard and straight, shoots to the end of time, when there will be a gathering and as quickly a separation. Weeds from the wheat, goats from the sheep, the wicked from the righteous. The time when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the causes of sin and the evildoers will be thrown into the furnace of fire. That time is coming. Until that day, until then, do nothing violent to the pagans, but then do something to strengthen the Christians. We don't want to be mistaken. The Great Commission of our Lord and the entire book of the Acts of the Apostles presses upon us to proclaim the gospel to the pagans. Yes, but the subject here is the welfare of Christians in a hostile culture, is it not? Do something and do it now. Sometimes the church prefers to just take 5 years, 5 decades, 5 centuries, do nothing. To the contrary, the eschaton presses with urgency. Instead of anesthetizing the church into a comfortable state of interim, the prospect of the Lord's coming energizes his body, the church. You know that the Gospels reference St. Simon and St. Jude only by their names. We really know very little about these two apostles, except St. Luke adds the appellative to Simon, namely, the zealot, to inspire us in our remembrance of them. Indeed. And how shall we be inspired? Take on and go attack the Da Vinci Code? Or shall we take on the Jesus Seminar? Context where the Lord Jesus is fairly well diminished. Shall we go on the attack? Rather, my friends, frame a series of sermons setting forth our Lord in all the richness of the scripture record. I'll give you just a few titles and you can think of more. Christ, the suffering servant. Christ, our substitute. Christ, the Lamb of God slain for us. Christ, the alternative to Allah or Buddha or the Shinto and New Age self-God. Christ, our reason for living. Christ, our hope in dying. Christ, for real, his body and his blood in the sacrament. Christ, for the forgiveness of our sins. Christ, the incomparable Savior, the resurrection and the life. As Harry Blamires, the British apologist, urges, help the people in our churches to think Christianly in this age. Christianly. For 2,000 years, our Lord has been regarded by Christians and atheists alike as the center of history. But today, in many universities, the secularists are removing those benchmarks, B.C. and A.D., and cleverly substituting before the Common Era. when you have an opportunity to preach in your home church this Christmas or at New Year's, preach Christ as Lord over all time. Preach Christ incarnate in time. Preach the Lord Jesus, his Godhead and his humanity, and all that means for the human race, past, present, and future. Yes, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And show the young minds in your field education congregation who are excited by the theory of evolution how Darwinism does a little thing beyond the whole controversy over origins. You know, Darwinian evolution has the notion that all things are in a state of flux and all things are ever-changing. That goes for right and wrong, the notions of good and evil as well. Darwinian evolution makes happen what Albert Einstein bemoaned as an unfortunate spin-off from his work, the misapplication of relativity to ethics. And by that misapplication, you know the result. The suggestion is that society tolerate any and every unmentionable perversion, yes, entitlement to evil unlimited. I need not go into more detail. Do something to steel up the Christian mind to the unchanging commandments of the Lord and the unchanging, ever-faithful love of Christ, which compels us to heed and to keep those commandments. We hear on talk shows rather flippant conversations about God. Have you ever noticed that? About the deity, if there is one, must be as plural as the minds of the population imagine for themselves. In your teaching in the churches, challenge pluralism, which is making a play for the Christian mind today. Really, how many gods called Israel out of Egypt by miracles at the hand of Moses? How many gods do we behold in the face of the Christ child? Really, how many gods would own the cross, suffer, die, to ransom the race from ruination in sin? Really? Seminary community, ours is not the luxury to hunker down in ecclesiastical bunkers when Christians out there beyond our 70 acres every day are going over the top of the trenches and into the minefields, bombarded by artillery of the pagans and the weaponry of the evil one. Pastor, do you know where your church is? If you know, then do something. Do nothing violent against the pagans. Do everything to support and strengthen the Christians. Amen.